The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
That Sotomayor was a bit of an inspiration for you. In what way?
Yeah, it was. I thought about, you know, what I was going to wear because I know that my nieces were watching and I wanted them to kind of be able to have an image in their mind. Mm-hmm. And so I wore white for the suffragettes and people like Shirley Chisholm who paved the way here. And when Sonia Sotomayor was having her confirmation hearings, the consultants kind of told her to wear a nude nail polish because wearing a bright color would kind of attract more scrutiny. And so she wore bright red nails. And I figured, why not? You know, that was another great tradition.
You get elected. Mm-hmm. You go in there. Your first day in Congress, government shut down.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck is that like?
Well, what I will say is that there's a lot of things we can't do as freshman members. We have almost, you know, around 100 new members of both parties mm-hmm. that are coming to Congress. And we can't properly set up our district offices. We can't get laptops delivered. We can't start doing the work that we were elected here to do.
All that takes the green stuff.
Yeah, it takes the green stuff. And those workers are furloughed. And so the downside is that we're not able to get to work as much as we want to in the beginning. But the bright side is that it gives us a lot more free time to make trouble. And
wow.
Yeah.
And because, you know what they say, idle hands are the devil's legislative agenda.
That's right. That is exactly correct.
Yeah, yeah.
So we couldn't, I couldn't do this. And so I said, well, we need to find the person that's responsible. And so Congresswoman Katie Hill had co-written a letter with Susie Lee. And we got all these freshmen to sign it. And we said, well, we need to give it to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and tell him to call the vote. We know we have the Republican votes to open government. It's literally just Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell versus the rest of the world, you know? And so so we're like, we're going to find him. And so we went to his Capitol Hill office, his Senate Majority Leader office. He wasn't there. And then we said, well, let's go everywhere he could possibly be. So we went to the cloakroom, which is kind of like a snack room for the Republicans. Mm-hmm. We went to the Senate floor, and Senator Jeff Merkley submitted our letter to the Senate floor. It was actually some of the incumbents were saying that this was the first time they remembered House members going to the Senate floor since about 1992 for the Anita Hill hearings was the last time some had recalled that happening.
Wow.
Then we went to his constituent office in the Russell Building. We took a little, like, train that they had. And that's where we started the hashtag, Where's Mitch? Because where is he? Where is he?
Good question. Did you try going to the Senate floor and yelling, Ollie, Ollie, oxen free?
No, that's my plan when I go back.
When you're back,
that's
okay.
That's what I'll do when I go back.
Okay, so you've been called a media virtuoso, okay, people compared to the other members of Congress, certainly, some of them. As I was saying, you had a little lesson to teach other members of the Democratic Party to catch them up on social media. What were those lessons like? Was it like, the power button is the thing on the side? What were you teaching them?
I gave them more of my general theory and approach to social media. So mm-hmm. I said, you know, rule number one is to be authentic, to be yourself, and don't try to be anyone that you're not. So mm-hmm. don't try to talk like a young kid if you're not a young kid. Don't post a meme if you don't know what a meme is.
Wow, good advice.
That was literally my advice. And I said, don't talk like the founding fathers on Twitter.
Got it.
You know, if you're a mom that likes to garden, talk like a mom that likes to garden. Okay. And that's all you got to do.
How do you, you've had a good record of responding to people who are criticizing you on social media. How do you choose who you go give the business to?
This is good advice.
Yeah.
Some people might be just coming after you for attention.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's kind of an overlap of a couple different factors. One, is it a notable person? Usually, are they verified? Because I don't want to just go after some innocent bystander.
Oh, come on.
But I think that if you're verified on the platform, if you have a blue check, you're kind of signing up to be part of this public discourse. So we got a blue check. If you're kind of in my mentions, if you're kind of being sassy in a way that is, I think, unjustified, mm-hmm. and then if I haven't eaten in 2 to 3 hours, it's like that combination is.
So the less you eat, the fiercer you are on social media?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Exactly.
You just gotta love Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. That was her appearance, or part of her appearance from the other night on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. She's good. She is really good. And you know why she's good? Because she's genuine. She's authentic. She is who she is. And that's the advice she was giving people. Don't tweet about things that you don't know about. You know, if you know about gardening, tweet about gardening. But don't, you know, talk like the founding fathers. Don't make a meme if you don't know what the fuck a meme is. And that was my fuck, not her fuck, because I'm sure I have more of a potty mouth than she does. You know, I think Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is the future, not because of her as the person who's going to save us all, but I made the mistake of looking at the YouTube chat room with somebody giving Laffy pointers on her termite problem in California. I can't deal with that right now. It's somebody who is outspoken, who has the charisma and the presence to garner such interest, and then knows what to do with it. And she tells the truth. And she speaks truth to power, and she's not afraid of the bullies. And this is what the Democrats need to learn from her, big time, is you don't back down. If I was allowed to play music without getting copyright violated by YouTube, I'd play I Won't Back Down by Tom Petty or something like that, go into a musical interlude, because I'd rather be playing music right now than talking about this bullshit, to be honest with you. Our country, the United States of America, believe it or not, is still the wealthiest nation on the planet. Let me say that again. United States of America, the wealthiest nation on the planet. Yet we have hundreds of thousands of people working as slaves. I meant what I said, working as slaves. The definition of slavery is you're forced to work and you don't get paid for it. Okay, there may not be owned in the literal sense of it, but Donald Trump does nothing literal, right? He figuratively owns these people. If you're a TSA worker, you're ordered to come in. Most of them are calling out sick because they need money to feed their families. They have to pay the rent or the mortgage. Look, I know those challenges, and I haven't been furloughed. and it weighs heavily on me. So there's a lot going on today. And on top of it, just the hatred, the ugliness in that's pervading our communities today is really disconcerting. The latest breaking news, and I've got it all in my What's News, but I'll jump around here a little bit, came earlier this morning when the news broke that Michael Cohen, remember Michael Cohen? Yes, Donald Trump and Sean Hannity's lawyer. And yeah, those are his only clients, apparently. He decided that he is, you know, he was scheduled to testify before Congress on February 7th. I had it in my appointment book. I had the note to get the popcorn ready and all that. Well, this morning, Lanny Davis, who now once again refers to himself as Michael Cohen's attorney, sometimes he's a spokesman, sometimes he's a communications consultant. Now he's his attorney again. I guess it depends on what his title is, how much he bills Michael Cohen. Anyway, Lanny Davis issued a statement this morning, and I'll just read it to you. It says, Mr. Cohen volunteered to testify before the House Oversight Committee on February 7th due to ongoing threats against his family from President Trump and Mr. Giuliani as recently as this weekend, as well as Mr. Cohen's continued cooperation with ongoing investigations by advisive counsel. Mr. Cohen's appearance will be postponed to a later date. Yeah, but how much later? Because he's going to fucking jail! Mr. Cohen wishes to thank Chairman Cummings for allowing him to appear before the House Oversight Committee and looks forward to testifying at the appropriate time. This is a time where Mr. Cohen had to put his family and their safety first. Really? So, a few things here. First of all, due to ongoing threats against his family from President Trump and Mr. Giuliani as recently as this weekend, where are the arrest warrants? This is intimidation. This is coercion. This is illegal. He's intimidating a witness. Arrest that motherfucker! And sorry if my shouting upsets you. If it does, turn it down or go away because I'm pissed. Arrest them. Why is this man allowed to act like a dictator? Last I heard, we were still a democratic republic, not an autocracy, although he's trying to move us in that direction. We are not there yet. Nancy Pelosi, I guess, is doing her bit to hold him at bay because there was some movement on the whole State of the Union debacle this morning. Donald Trump apparently, just in the recent day or two, asked the sergeant at arms for a walkthrough of the House chamber where he thought he was going to be delivering the State of the Union address. A couple of weeks ago, Nancy Pelosi wrote another letter saying, who knew the government would still be shut down this long? You need to look at rescheduling once the government has been reopened. So this morning comes a letter from the White House to Nancy Pelosi from Donald Trump. Now, I promise you, he didn't read this because I don't see any spelling errors and I don't see, you know, weird capitalizations and stuff like that. But his name is on it, so I'll read it as if it's Donald. And by the way, call him Donald because he insists on everyone addressing him as Mr. Trump while he calls them Chuck and Nancy and whatever other ridiculous names he wants to call them. So we should just call him Donald. Dear Madam Speaker, thank you for your letter of January 3rd, 2019, sent to me long after the shutdown began, inviting me to address the nation on January 29th as to the State of the Union. As you know, I had already accepted your kind invitation. However, I then received another letter from you dated January 16th, 2019, wherein you expressed concerns regarding security during the State of the Union address due to the shutdown. Even prior to asking, I was contacted by the Department of Homeland Security and the United States Secret Service to explain that there would be absolutely no problem regarding security with respect to the event. They have since confirmed this publicly. Accordingly, there are no security concerns regarding the State of the Union address. Therefore, I will be honoring your invitation and fulfilling my constitutional duty. I said duty to deliver important information to the people in the Congress of the United States of America regarding the state of our union. Regarding the what? The who? The what?
And God bless the United States.
Oh, okay. And then he wrapped it up by saying, I look forward to seeing you on the evening of January 29th. In the chamber of the House of Representatives, it would be so very sad for our country if the State of the Union were not delivered on time, on schedule, and very importantly, on location. Dotard. Well, Pelosi responded, Dear Mr. President, when I extended an invitation on January 3rd for you to deliver the State of the Union address, it was on the mutually agreed upon date, January 29th. At that time, there was no thought that the government would still be shut down. In my further correspondence of January 16th, I said we should work together to find a mutually agreeable date when government has reopened, and I hope we can still do that. I am writing to inform you that the House of Representatives will not consider a concurrent resolution authorizing the president's State of the Union address in the House chamber until government has opened. Again, I look forward to welcoming you to the House on a mutually agreeable date for this address when government has been opened. Sincerely, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House. And yes, as she wrote in that letter, the rules state that both chambers have to pass a resolution calling for a joint session first. And they haven't. And they won't. Period. End of statement. So, Donald, what the fuck are you going to do about it? I have an idea. Resign. Get the fuck out of the White House and let us get back to the business of operating a country, being part of the world. This is sickening. Everything about life in the United States is sickening. And I'll say it right now. If I could leave, if I had anywhere else to go, I would go. Anywhere else in the world, you have a job for me? Because I'm open. I'm ready to go. I got a kid. I got a husband. I got a dog. Can you take three of us, three and a half of us? Because this place is a graveyard. What the hell? I just heard something going on. All right. So, great. Hey, more news. Multiple people were shot during a hostage situation in a bank in Sebring, Florida, county officials say. A suspect has surrendered. Why bother? Why don't they just shoot him? I'm at this point. I understand about due process, but I'm sick of being the only ones who follow due process. God. And I'm still freaked out about what happened in Washington, D.C. at the Lincoln Memorial with that little sneering, snot-nosed kid and the way the media is kowtowing to them just because the parents of these Covington Catholic school kids hired a PR firm to write a responsive letter. And he sat there, and if you watched, and it's Savannah Guthrie, shame on you. Where was the Native American elder whose name escapes me, Nathan, whatever his name is? Where was his invitation? Oh, right. He didn't have a PR firm pitching for him. Shame on you. Shame on all of you. Shame on MSNBC. Did you hear Tweety? Oh, my God. Did you hear Tweety? This, okay. Now, at 7 o'clock, if my television is on, if I was watching Ari Melber, at 7 o'clock, it flips to anywhere else because Chris Matthews is an idiot. Here's Tweety yesterday.
Let's talk about today, according to Politico, Harris's announcement on Martin.
Talking about Kamala Harris announcing her candidacy on Monday on Martin Luther King Day.
Let's talk about today, according to Politico, Harris's announcement on Martin Luther King Jr. Day was steeped in symbolism. Her aide said the red and yellow color scheme, by the way, for Harris's campaign logo was inspired by former Representative Shirley Chisholm of New York, whose 1972 run for president was the first by a black woman from a major political party. Harris's video, by the way, outlines the theme of the career prosecutor's candidacy for the people. Ruth, let's talk about this. Let me go to Jamal. I've got to go to Jamal on this for obvious reasons. But I get the feeling that she's going to head up, set up her headquarters in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Largely African-American town.
Yeah.
She's
I don't understand that.
I'll explain.
I don't understand why she's in Baltimore. She's from Oakland.
Just she's from Oakland. Okay.
She wants to win the South Carolina primary. That's what I did.
So put a headquarters in South Carolina. I think that she's got a lot of strengths here. She's got a bio. She's got a record. She's a prosecutor with a heart. She's done a lot to deal with keeping people out of recidivism.
Is she seen as African-American?
Did you hear what he just said? Is she seen as African-American? He asked twice, is she seen as African-American? Hey, MSNBC, fire that fucking man! Is she seen as African-American? What is he doing on television? He doesn't deserve a job at this point. Get him off the air! I just have to let it sit there. I'd run it back, but I don't want to play all the way through to get to that point again. Is she considered African-American? Tweety, are you considered an asshole? Oh, my God. I just got to do it. Just got to do it.
I want to tell you a story about the brand new world's biggest asshole.
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 It's a brand new story about the brand new world's biggest asshole.
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 His name is
Chris Matthews.
And he's the new world's biggest asshole. Oh, yeah.
You know, I already lodged a complaint against one television station this morning. I live in South Florida, and I'd like to check out a network newscast each night. It's part of what I do for a living. It's how I stay informed. Even if they're not very informative, I like to know what they're saying. And so I watch the NBC newscast because it seems to be the least offensive of the three. So we DVR it, and it invariably captures the last 30 seconds or so of the local WTVJ NBC 6 local newscast at 6:30 p.m. or 6 o'clock p.m., whatever time it's on. And there's the anchor is a guy named Jawan Strader. And for whatever reason, when they wrap up their 6:30 newscast or 6 o'clock, no, whatever time it is, they do a recap of the weather. Cause you know, it's Florida. People want to know what the weather is going to be here. Is it going to drop below 60 degrees? Oh my God, you might freeze to death. So we watch the 20, 30 seconds of the weather recap, and it leads into Lester, whatever his name is, over at NBC News, Lester Holt. 9 times out of 10, this Jawan Strader, who's the anchor, sits there and they say, it's going to get kind of cold tonight. He goes, like it's the funniest thing he's ever heard when there was not a joke told. And it would be one thing if it happened once in a while. I guess, you know, he's nervous. He's on TV, nervous laughter. But it's every fucking night to the point where David and I look at each other and say, what the fuck is he laughing about? So this morning, being in a mood, I tweeted him and just said, why do you laugh incessantly at the end of every newscast when there's nothing funny to laugh at? And he went off and encouraged his, you know, followers to mock me. And so I called the station management. And of course, the general manager is out of the office for 2 weeks, but I spoke to someone who really didn't think it was a problem that he laughs at nothing at the end of every newscast. You know, it doesn't matter. They could have been talking about a mass shooting, and then they'll give you the temperature and say it's going to get cool tonight, and he'll go, see you at 11. I'm sorry. It's asinine. It's the reason local news sucks. Well, that plus if it bleeds, it leads. So this idiot is on Twitter mocking me this morning. That's neither here nor there. I'm just going to point out all the assholes who are on the air, from Jawan Strader at WTVJ Channel 6 in Miami to Chris Matthews, who wore out his welcome years ago. MSNBC, who does he have naked pictures of? Or maybe he's got a P tape from someone there at NBC proper. Get that guy off the air. Is Kamala Harris seen as African-American? Fuck you, Chris Matthews. This is why we're in the situation we're in, because assholes like you command the airwaves. I wasn't talking about Chris Hedges. I was talking about Chris Matthews, just to correct the people in the chat room. Okay, with that, we are going to get into what happened on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial over the MLK holiday with that snot-nosed, smarmy, Covington Catholic Kentucky kid, threatening a Native American elder. And then the media getting it all wrong when some PR flack wrote a lengthy piece excusing away their actions. Well, Jody Jacobson, who is the president and editor-in-chief of Rewire.news, wrote the definitive piece on it. I mean, it's great. It's long. I will post it on my blog at NicoleSandler.com. But she watched not the little clips, not the clips made of the video excerpted, but the 2-hour video, and she watched it numerous times, and she'll tell you exactly what happened. And the media is gaslighting you just like the president does. That's all I'll say. All right, time for some news.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Well, if it's Wednesday, it's day 33 of the Trump shutdown with no end in sight. And if the GOP's deflection has you questioning what you know to be true, here's Shepard Smith. Yes, a fox who must have compromising photos of Rupert Murdoch somewhere, because Shepard Smith has no problem explaining what's true.
On principle, Shep, they want to open the government first and then negotiate about border security. But the White House is concerned that if they were to agree to reopen the government, the Democrats would suddenly say, border security? What border security? Shep?
John Roberts, live at the White House. For fact's sake, the president shut down the government. He told the Democrats in the Oval Office that he would carry the mantle for it, that he would be proud to do it, and that he wouldn't blame the Democrats for it.
So there's Shepard Smith. Donald Trump wanted it. And in fact,
if we don't get what we want one way or the other, whether it's through you, through a military, through anything you want to call, I will shut down the government.
Okay.
He owns it. As for moving ahead with negotiations, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi has one simple remedy. Open the government and we can talk.
Open up government. Open the government. Let's talk. Cannot have the president every time he has an objection to say, I'll shut down government until you come to my way of thinking. Understand, that is part of the point of this. If we hold the employees hostage now, they're hostage forever. And by the way, what the president proposed is granting what he had already taken away. The DACA recipients had their protections.
Yep.
Temporary protected status, TPS, had their protection. The president took it away, and now he's saying, well, I'll give you this back temporarily if you give me a wall permanently.
Again, it was not easy to hear what she's saying there. Basically, the things that Trump is promising in this so-called deal are things that he took away himself. Piece of shit. While Trump plays his games, hundreds of thousands of federal workers are poised to miss a second paycheck. For some, this might mean eviction, hunger. For at least one woman, missed chemotherapy treatments. But hey, that's life in America these days. Now that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has found Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader is pretending to enter the shutdown fray. Ooh, he's allowing two votes tomorrow on competing proposals to reopen the government. The first vote will be on Trump's laughable proposal to extend, right, a bullshit extension of protections for some immigrants for 3 years in exchange for a $5.7 billion border wall ransom. The second vote will be the Democrats' clean continuing resolution that would reopen the government for about 3 weeks with no additional border wall of money, but would get both sides back to the negotiating table. Until this week, all McConnell did was block the House bills that would have reopened the government while negotiations continued. On Tuesday, he did it again, blocking a bill that would temporarily reopen the Department of Homeland Security. This is your government at work, people. Aren't you proud? Meanwhile, and I already told you about Trump's State of the Union address, so I'm not going to read that again, but it's just unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. By the way, the newly reconstituted Supreme Court, complete with Brett, I like beer, Kavanaugh in place, handed the president a partial and temporary win on Tuesday, allowing the administration to enforce its shameful and bigoted restrictions on transgender people serving in the military.
This is the one, remember, that President Trump announced by tweet last year saying he wanted to ban transgender military service. The Pentagon eventually modified that to say you could stay in the military if you served in your own biological sex and did not seek gender reassignment surgery. Three federal courts put that on hold, saying it was unconstitutional discrimination. The Trump administration came here to the Supreme Court and said, we want you to let us enforce this ban while it plays out in the lower courts. And today, the Supreme Court granted that request. So if it chooses to do so, the Pentagon can now start enforcing the transgender military service ban. We'll have to see whether the Pentagon chooses to do that. Obviously, this case will not be heard until next year if the Supreme Court grants the case. So it's somewhat up in the air. It's the order here says that if the court grants review and decides that it's unconstitutional, the order would terminate. But it's not going to hear this case until next term. So the Pentagon could go ahead and start enforcing this ban.
But they're going to enforce it anyway. All right. I already told you about Michael Cohen, postponing his testimony. We'll see what happens with that. Teacher strike in Los Angeles is over. Teachers and students return to the classroom today after a 6-day strike. The agreement reached gives educators a 6% raise, smaller class sizes, more nurses, librarians, and counselors. Next up is Denver, where teachers voted to go on strike for the first time in 25 years, demanding an overhaul to the school district's compensation system. In fact, hopefully, it looks like Randy Weingarten, the president of the American Federation of Teachers, will join us for a few minutes tomorrow. Also on tomorrow's show, we're going to be speaking with Andrew Yang, who is running for president. He is a I've had a few people talk to me about him. His opinions, his stances are great. But when you say Andrew Yang, you say who? So we're going to talk to him tomorrow and see if he has any chance in hell of winning and find out why he's running. But up next, I haven't talked much about this story because, again, it's so sickening. And you can tell I don't have much of a tolerance for the way of our world today. It just doesn't make sense. Anyway, in looking for, without having to sit through the 2-hour video, because I watched enough of the video clips, I ran across an article written by Jody Jacobson at Rewire.news. Now, Jody is the president of Rewire and editor-in-chief, and she's done some amazing work over the years. And I found this article actually through her tweets about it, where she said she watched this video numerous times, and not just the excerpts, but the hold on, I gotta call this number. Okay, not just the excerpts. I hate this new Skype. Why is everybody trying to fuck with me? Okay, where she talked about watching the entire 2-hour video a number of times all the way through to get the full story. And so the story that she wrote is headlined "Whitewashing White Supremacy: Media Rushes to Excuse Covington Catholic Students." And again, I tweeted it out this morning. I will post it on my blog along with the podcast of today's show and encourage you to read the whole thing, because there's so much more here than you get from reading little bits and pieces, or frankly, watching a 5-minute snippet out of a 2-hour-long video. So I invited Jody Jacobson to join us. I'm thrilled that she accepted. Jody, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you so much for being here today. And
thank you for having me.
And thank you for the work you guys do at Rewire.news, because it's a great site. You cover really important issues, and you do really good work. So thank you for that.
Well, vice versa.
Oh, well, thank you. I really appreciate it. This incident that happened, and I don't know how to describe it. It was just a shameful a snippet of American life in the Trump era. It just shows, unfortunately, where we seem to be. And this story took on a life of its own, really, when a picture of this kid, this entitled white kid in a MAGA hat, was staring down Nathan Phillips, a native elder from the Omaha Nation and former U.S. Marine. And for many people, I'm sure all they had to do was see that picture and they formed an opinion. I know I did, but then I went on to try to find out more about what went on. You took it to the next level. So I got to ask you, when the story first broke, when we first saw the pictures and everyone was outraged, a lot of media outlets jumped on the bandwagon where, you know, these rowdy kids accosted these Native Americans without bothering to do their homework about it. You did your homework. So what did you expect to find when you watched the video?
Well, I don't know that I went into it expecting to find anything so much as trying to find out what, you know, once the sort of mea culpas I acted too quickly started rolling out almost immediately afterward, I thought, this doesn't sound quite right, but let me make sure I know what I'm talking about. So I looked for all the videos I could find, and there are many of them, and some of them are taken from different vantage points and only for short periods of time, and mm-hmm. so you don't really get what actually happened in the space of the time that we're talking about. And then others of them were, as I said in the piece, helpfully offered to me online by people who said, I spliced one for you. And I thought, yeah, I'm not going to look at that one. But I did get hold of the almost two-hour video. And I hate to say that I watched it three times. So there's wow. six some odd hours of my life that went by the wayside. To really see in granular detail what happened. And what I saw there was a very large and, in fact, increasingly large group of students, teen students, virtually all male. I think there might have been a handful of girls there at, you know, at some point, not in the longer video, but in some shorter videos, that basically congregated on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial and started to kind of talk back at the Black Hebrew Israelites who were there before these kids got there for quite a while. In the video, they're there for a good hour before the kids got there, and who knows how long before mm-hmm. that. And they, you know, they are extreme. They're homophobic, they're racist, they're misogynist, they are rude, all of those things. But they were five men, right. one of whom spent the entire time videoing, who were doing nothing but being vocally obnoxious.
Right. Easy to ignore.
Walked by.
Sure. Just the kind of people you look at and you shake your head and you keep walking.
Exactly. Exactly. If you read an article I linked in my piece from the Village Voice from several years back, it goes into kind of great detail about who they are and how they operate in New York and kind of, you know, how the police kind of sort of treat them as like, this is who they are. This is what they do. They never cause trouble. They're just obnoxious. So bottom line is they are obnoxious, but hundreds of people throughout this video kind of look at them and go, okay, let me walk on by. Whereas these boys congregate and none of their chaperones, none of the adults that are ostensibly with them does anything about it until they then start whooping and hollering and doing these kind of, I would have to say, if I were there, I would take them as aggressive chants, throwing their clothes off, you know,
yeah.
Grunting and all, yep. all sorts of other stuff. So you could see where someone like Nathan Phillips, who, as you noted, is a former Marine, who also, let's face it, was the only adult in the room, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
the only person who thought, here's a potentially inflammatory situation with now upwards of 60 boys hooting and hollering, getting closer to these Black Hebrew Israelites. Something could possibly happen. And walked into it drumming a native song of peace.
Wow.
And that's when the boys surrounded and literally swarmed him. And there are several videos in my piece that show that from different angles, and also show very clearly that Nick Sandman, who claims that Elder Phillips walked up to him and sort of confronted him in his
right.
words,
got in his face,
did nothing of the
right.
sort.
Mm-hmm.
Sandman actually came, you know, gravitated toward the front of where the other boys were and faced Phillips. That's all, you know, that's all one part of it, but well, I found Nick Sandman's sort of stance and smirk to be emblematic, iconic of white entitlement.
Yeah.
You have to also understand there are 60 to 80 kids there by that point, hooting, hollering, tomahawk chopping within feet, inches in some cases, of this lone Indian elder, of whom there are several other people outside the circle and inside the circle who came with him, who are saying that they are frightened. I mean, there's one account in my piece as well from a woman who was with them. So I think the whole thing What gets me about this, and I'll tell you what really gets me about this, is okay. that we've now seen that at that school, boys at various games wear blackface.
Yep.
Taunt black students who come to play basketball there mm-hmm. are very openly racist. This was a video that was hosted on the high school website, so they kind of weren't hiding it.
Wow.
And the reaction of the parents was not to say, okay, Nick et al., all of you, get on a video right now, apologize, and be done with it. But rather to hire a right-wing PR firm affiliated with Mitch McConnell and apparently also affiliated with Pat Cipollone, who is the White House chief counsel, who is also an alum of Covington
God.
Catholic High School.
Oh, my God.
To make this into these boys were victims of a lone Native elder.
Yeah.
There's so many ways to deconstruct the racism there, it just boggles the mind.
It does. And then, Jody Jacobson, what further makes heads explode, mine, for example, is the way these, I guess, mindless, soulless people, curiousless people in the media ran with it. Oh, I got a professionally written PR statement that it was signed by the kid, Nick Sandman, as if he wrote it, right? And once I read that, oh, I was mistaken. Oh, I spoke before I thought. How could I have been so blind? Of course, it's just these are just innocent high school kids. The turnaround was brisk, and it was almost absolute. It was stunning.
It was stunning to me, particularly because we later found out, well, first of all, it was a PR statement. It
yeah,
was clear.
Right.
Second of all, they were, you know, just think about this for a second. They are taking the word of a 16-year-old kid mm-hmm. amidst, you know, as I said, anywhere between 50 to 70, 80, I don't know, I can't count all of the different videos, kids who were harassing this man without, you know, with outright racist war whoops and tomahawk chops. They're taking the word of this child against a Native elder, which is, if you think about Indigenous culture, elders are revered. They are mm-hmm. honored. They are always respected. And this was sort of the ultimate disrespect, and the media fed into it. And then we come to find out that Scott Jennings, who is one of the principals of Run Switch, that is the Kentucky-based PR firm that is helping Nick Sandman. He is a former McConnell operative who also worked in the Bush White House, who also is a conservative commentator on CNN.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And so it's clear to me that there was pressure brought to bear on the media from the White House and from this PR firm to do what they did, which is basically jettison a Native elder in favor of an out-of-control group of boys, the parents and chaperones of which couldn't be bothered to make sure they behaved well.
It's stunning. As you said in the article, Jody, that you looked, were there any adults on the premises? And it appeared that there was one who was just standing there doing nothing.
These
kids were wearing their MAGA hats, like that's appropriate. They were coming from the March for Life. You know, ostensibly these kids, I'm sorry, at 16, here I am with my mom hat on, should all be virgins. They shouldn't be wading into this. But apparently, this March for Life every year buses in thousands of high school kids from parochial schools around the country so that they'll have some showing in the crowd. But when the one kid took off his shirt and started mocking the black Israelites, that should have raised some red flags. And so it goes on. You have some a firsthand account in this piece from somebody named Hunter Hooligan, you're right, who attended the Indigenous Peoples March, which was going on simultaneously, by the way, to honor her Masoki family. She wrote in The Cut. Here's her description of what happened. Nathan stopped walking. This is the elder. But he kept singing and playing his drum, staring right into the smirking boy's eyes. We all huddled around him as the other boys began to push, prod, and bump us into a tighter and tighter cluster. They were mocking Nathan's sacred music with purposefully disrespectful dancing and a perverted imitation of his singing. Their imitations were the racist tropes of, quote, Indian chants, the stereotypical grunting and hi-ya, 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 hi-ya of representations past. Her personal testimony appears not to have been read by many of the Covington Catholic boys apologists. Just reading that, it's like a knife through your heart. And then to make things worse, one of my all-time favorite movies called Little Big Man is actually now on Amazon Prime. And if you're not familiar with it, it stars Dustin Hoffman. But as a kid in the Old West, I want to call it a motorcade, you know, his thing.
Cavalcade.
Was, yeah. No, you know, his group going out west, brain fart.
Yeah,
right. Was attacked by Indians and they were all killed. All the adults were killed and two kids were taken in. And basically Dustin Hoffman was adopted as a young boy by the elders of this tribe who were the Cheyenne, who were known as the human beings. And you learned so much about Indian culture, about what both sides go through because Dustin Hoffman straddles both worlds. But I was immersed in Native American culture and tradition and how they've been, abused by this country. While this is going on, I think these kids need to sit down and watch Little Big Man and open a fucking history book, and learn a lesson or two. But it seems like they're just being rewarded for their efforts. The fact that this kid, Nick Sandman, was on the Today Show, I guess it was it yesterday? I didn't watch it. I refused to watch it. But of course I couldn't escape the clips. And that smirk. And what's Savannah Guthrie thinking? I mean, what did she ask him any tough questions?
I did not watch that segment because I have been in meetings and have a big board meeting coming up. So I've been like really occupied with actual day-to-day work and I didn't get to watch it yet. And also, to be very honest with you, I've been sort of like girding myself to watch it because I've been so furious about the whole incident.
I mean, you and me both.
As you said, as a mom, you feel like there is no way your kid would get away with this.
No.
There is just no
Hell
way.
No.
And I just find it, the idea, I just keep coming back to the idea that there were adults there, that these boys harassed young women on the way to the Lincoln Memorial, of which there's a clip in my piece.
Here, let me play something from that.
Yeah.
Young women who were there. This is an all-boys school, by the way. A Catholic all-boys school. And you got to listen carefully because it goes by quick. But this is one of those Covington Catholic kids.
It's not rape if you enjoy it.
It's not rape if you enjoy it. Wow.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. So, It's sort of, to me, emblematic of exactly how the anti-choice movement operates. They say on one hand, I mean, they are the ultimate and original gaslighters, right? They say on one hand, they revere women and they value women. And on the other hand, any woman that has sex is dirty. And certainly if you get raped, it's your fault and you must have enjoyed it anyway, or you asked for it. There's all of these, they pull out a meme for every different situation, and these boys clearly have absorbed all of it because it was evident in their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
It was evident in what this kid said. It was evident in the clip in my piece where they're shown harassing another young woman who's just walking by them. And it's evident in how they treated Mr. Phillips. I mean, think about this. You know, the Indigenous People's March in D.C. is actually on Native land.
Yep.
Of course, much of the United States is, originally Indigenous land that was taken from them. So we all are living on Indigenous land. We know that in Kentucky, there are plenty of, there's plenty of original Indigenous land that's been taken. And people in Kentucky, in the actual town of Covington, where the school is named Covington Catholic, but it's not actually in the town of Covington. The town of Covington is a sort of democratic stronghold and is far poorer and less well off than the suburbs where the school is located, and which are predominantly white and wealthy and Republican. And in that town of Covington, I've been told that people there are horrified.
Good.
They think it's, you know, really horrible, but that the parents of these kids wanted really badly to turn it around to their kids' advantage so they didn't look badly. And what I was told by someone there who I know and trust very well is that as a result of the parents taking this action, now people are digging up all other sorts of shit online about this school and, you know, disseminating it. So they kind of opened a genie's bottle, whereas if you, is that the right saying, opened the genie's bottle?
Yep.
Where if you had said to your kids, all of you, stand here, I'm going to record, I want a group apology right now, it would have been done and over.
Right.
But no, you know, they're litigating it in the national media.
Yeah. And you know, making excuses for them. I want to know where this kid's, and I have a block on his name, Nick Sandman. You know, usually with shooters, I don't mention their names. I consider him one
right.
of those. He's just a miscreant. He's a sneering, ugly teenager. You know, I would love to talk to his parents. I wanted to talk to the principal of the school, so I tried calling. Guess what? That number's not accepting any calls at the moment.
Yeah.
And their website is still down. How interesting. If they've got nothing to be ashamed of, why are they hiding?
Right. Well, I mean, again, just to underscore, because I keep coming back to this and I'm blown away. On the school website, they had a compilation video that was called Something Covington Crazies, which is kind of like their nickname for their teams. And they had a compilation video that included several scenes of kids in blackface. And now the video is in my piece.
Mm-hmm.
It's been taken down from the school website, but someone else uploaded it elsewhere, and you're able to access it. But just that they had it there. I can't wrap my head around.
Because it's unconscionable. Because you would think in 2019 we'd be more fully evolved from this. I've got a clip. It's less than a minute. It's a couple of these Covcath kids, as they're called, on Fox. And listen to how nonchalantly he talks about them. They can't do blackface anymore. They just can't because of the video.
I know.
Sam, there have been so many stories in the hours after the initial viral Twitter, which put that out there. In fact, I saw, I think it was a Daily Mail story. Somebody had gone out, looked at all the video from your school, and something like 5 years ago, there was a pep rally where one of the members of the school body had appeared to have blackface on. People have even asked you to explain that. How do you explain that?
I just explained it as showing our school spirit. We have many themes like nerd, business,
oh my God,
white out, blue out, black out, as you've seen in the video. Ever since I've gone to Covcath, we haven't been able to wear black paint because of the video, but I know the kids meant nothing by it. It's just showing school spirit.
And that was.
It's just showing school spirit. Seriously? School's licensing should be taken away.
I wonder about the school spirit where they're shown standing behind a black athlete.
Yeah.
Egging
painted
him.
Black.
And they look grotesque. And there's not only one. There's about five of them in all black body paint with Al Jolson faces. It's grotesque.
It's
That's
sickening.
The only way I can
and,
describe
and
it.
And the fact that these kids think it's school spirit, that's dereliction on the part of the school and the parents, who obviously are doing a really lousy job educating these kids. So the school should lose its charter, number one, and the parents should have to go to some kind of a parenting class. I mean, something. I'm at this place right now. I'm just apoplectic about the fact that Trump is still in the White House and why he hasn't been arrested. He's holding the nation hostage. He's forcing people to work as indentured servants or worse, slaves. He's shut down the nation. Holding it for $5.7 billion ransom, he should be arrested. Something should happen. And I'm beside myself that it's just business as usual. The normalization of Trump is in full swing.
Yes, I agree that we're all in that same place of being beside ourselves. And you know, increasingly for me, increasingly despairing that Republicans will do anything for the greater good. Yep. I just don't believe that they, I believe them to be a corrupt fascist party, but I have believed that for a long time. I don't think you can take away people's voting rights, dehumanize people, you know, take away their pay, seek to pay them minimum wages that you can't live. I don't think you can do all of those things and be a party interested in democracy.
Oh,
and
so,
I'm really worried right now because, we have 18 more months of this, and I don't know how we get through it.
I don't either. And part of the problem is, I hate to say it, but on our side, there's so much infighting. Instead of letting the multitudes of people who are going to decide that they're going to run for president, let them jump in the ring, let them state their positions, and choose. But it seems like the firing squad is out. Anybody who's not your chosen candidate, you know, the guns are ablazing already. This is the way we lose.
Absolutely.
This is the way we wind up with Donald Trump again.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we've got a lot of work. I know ahead of us, I know Jody Jacobson over at Rewired.News, you guys are doing great work. I mean, and in addition to covering all things, you know, political, you deal a lot with reproductive rights, with, and I guess the heartbeat bill was just shot down somewhere in Arkansas or Alabama or somewhere.
Yes.
I live in Florida where they're threatening one of those right now. So it's,
yeah, they're kind of like the Walking Dead. They just keep coming back, even though they keep getting shot down. They keep coming back because it's, to me, that is a failure of governance. You are so focused on something that doesn't help anyone. In fact, hurts some people, and you are not focused on the real issues. Like, let's say half of Florida will be underwater
in
40 years. I mean,
Yeah. No, we've got so many problems. And instead, we're all talking about Trump's ego. And is he going to deliver the State of the Union address on the 29th? Well, Nancy Pelosi said no. I want to see her standing at the door to the House of Representatives with the sergeant at arms, ready to arrest him if he goes in to try to deliver a speech. That's just
me. That would be quite dramatic.
Yes, it would. But I mean, that let's follow the rule of law. She said, no, the government is shut down. You're not delivering a speech here while the government is shut down.
Hopefully that is what happens because something has to give here. There are people hurting really badly. There were plenty of people hurting really badly before this debacle, and now there are lots of people hurting badly on purpose, and it's just inhumane.
Again, the richest nation on the planet, and people are starting GoFundMe accounts for TSA workers, for federal employees, so that they can pay their rent or mortgage and feed their families and get their medication. It's shameful, and this is fully Donald Trump's choice.
And Mitch McConnell.
And
Let's
Mitch McConnell.
Let him out of
You're
it.
Right.
Yeah.
I got it. Mitch McConnell, too. Mitch McConnell could fix this very quickly if he had a spine. I guess turtles
exactly.
don't have spines. I don't know.
Soul.
Or souls. We got our work cut out for us. Jody Jacobson, again, of Rewire.News. Thank you so much. Thank you for sitting through that video three or four times and for writing up what you saw because, you know, sometimes you can believe your eyes. That's the way it works. Jody, thank you so much. Really appreciate it and hope you'll come back again.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Take good care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You really do have to read her article because it does go into great depth. Instead of taking the shortcut that so many of these network so-called journalists did, there was a press release written that says it's a different story. I guess that must be true. We were wrong. We didn't hear all sides. Well, you still didn't hear all sides. Savannah Guthrie, shame on you. Jake Tapper, shame on you. All these fucking network people taking way too big paychecks. Shame on all of you. Do your fucking homework. Do your jobs. You get paid well for it. Do the work. And if you're not going to do the work, then go away and give someone else the opportunity. God.
All right. Well, tomorrow on the program, hopefully we're going to hear from Randy Weingarten about how strikes work. Teachers are back to work in Los Angeles, and now they're going out in Denver. And we're going to talk to Andrew Yang, who's running for president. He's got some great ideas. He's an entrepreneur with no political experience. Is that what we need right now? I don't know. Maybe it is, but can he win? I don't know. I don't think so. And right now, electability is a really important word. We'll get into all of it tomorrow. Oh, no, that's Friday. Tomorrow's Thursday. Tomorrow's Howie Klein Day. Okay, never mind. Tomorrow, Howie Klein. Andrew Yang's on Friday. Something to look forward to. Oh, yeah, I need a vacation. Thank you for listening, everyone, and thanks for putting up with my anger. At least I have this way to express myself, because if I didn't, I don't know where I'd be right now. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks again, everyone. Bye-bye.